The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And then in that moment, he asked me, would you help me build Blended Kingdom Families? It was this invitation. And the first thing I said was that, God, I am not qualified to do this. And he said, Vanessa, I call the qualified. And he said, the very thing that man says disqualifies you, I will use to qualify you. Yeah.
Scott and Vanessa Martindale explain how God is using their past to help divorced and blended families.
They walk to the front and they say, generational divorce stops here.
Yes.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy is with me.
And Tammy,
you know I'm adopted.
Yes.
Yes. And my parents always did a wonderful job explaining not just the legal thing of adoption, but the spiritual components behind adoption of God creating these connections that may not be earthly, but they're spiritual. They're heavenly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see a lot of these.
Yeah.
And we see them in the church. Mm-hmm. But we don't always handle it well.
No, we don't. And no. I think there's many people that have a bit of a long list of maybe struggles and some hard things that they've had to carry and feeling misunderstood, overlooked, not enough, a lot. So today's going to be a good day.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, there's this tension around divorce.
Yes.
And in the church. And I get it. We value marriage. It's holy. It's very important. It's critical, right? But then there are situations where there's divorces, and then there's families that come together, and that's where you get into this spiritual connection of adoption and what we call blended families in today's vernacular. And for a lot of you, if you are in that situation and you have felt isolated from the church or maybe condemned by Christ, even though Scripture tells us Christ didn't come into the world to condemn the world. There's no condemnation in Christ. We want to give you some encouragement today. And if you know somebody like that, we want to maybe help you handle that situation in the way that God would have us come together, be that adopted family, one in Christ. And to do that, we welcome Scott and Vanessa Martindale to Life Today. I do want to mention your book. It's called Blended and Redeemed. Mm-hmm. And I love those two words because when we start blending, sometimes people are like, I'm not sure. But you're saying God redeems that situation. He can be in that situation.
Absolutely can.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit of your background so people understand what you've walked through.
Well, thanks for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
So we have been married almost 11 years. She reminded me right before we got out, so I wouldn't forget. You know, not too much to the story other than I was 36 years old when we got introduced. And Vanessa had been married before for a very short time. And when I met her, she was a single mom of a great boy. And we met, fell in love, and said, hey, let's move forward in our life together. As soon as we got married, 9 months later, had our second son. Mm-hmm. 14 months later, had our third son. 16 months later, had our fourth son.
Goodness.
And then we finally figured out what was causing it. Went to the doctor, got that fixed. and we've just begun a life of living in a blended family, which has got its challenges. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through storms. We've gone through seasons of extreme difficulty, litigation, all these different things that, you know, blended families, they just kind of expect and they kind of know that they're going to go through those. And We've had our great days, we've had our really hard days, but together, you know, through the grace of God and through focusing on Him and focusing on our marriage, we have thrived through those seasons as well. And we continue to go through them. And so now, fast forward, and I get to hang out with this pretty lady all the time and raise our sons, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and do ministry together.
Well, and we also grew up in blended families. So I grew up in a blended family. My mom had been married and divorced twice, and her third marriage is to my stepdad. I don't know my biological father, but my stepdad is who raised me, and they've been married now for over 30 years. And then Scott also grew up in a blended family. So his dad had previously been married, divorced, had children. His mom had been married, divorced, had a child, and then he was what you call the hours child. So they came together and had him. So we both come from blended family backgrounds and have lived it our entire lives, basically. And so, but it's been a journey, and we just love that we get to partner with the Lord in helping families just like ours, you know, go through, you know, overcome the struggles and the things that can come with that. There's highs, there's lows, and, you know, highs that come with being in a blended family. But it's we love what we get to do, and it's just an incredible opportunity.
Did you find from the very beginning that you had full support walking in the church? Like, we're blended, I'm divorced, and here we are. Or have you ever gone through a time, which I think there's many people that have, feeling disqualified?
Oh, absolutely.
There's shame.
Yeah.
And I've seen that even in my own life, within my family. My mom was divorced as well, 10 years, went to church, and she became the director of women's ministry. But it was, it was, you can't sit on the platform, you can't sit on the front row, you can't do these things, because you're divorced. And it was hard for me to watch my mom go through that again. She handled it so well. But I didn't like that as a kid, having to watch that, thinking, there's something wrong here, evidently, and she will never measure up. She's disqualified. She's not going to be enough. Do you think people are still struggling with that kind of feeling today?
Absolutely. You know, I know for us, when we went through our litigation season, I reached out to the local church looking for biblically based resources for step families. And there wasn't anything. And I remember one day driving in the car, I was driving home, and I remember just being righteously angry with the Lord and just asking him, you know, what was this season for? We had just come out of our litigation. We were about to start mediation. And what was this for? And for so long, I'd been asking the wrong question. I was asking why. I started asking what. And then in that moment, he asked me, would you help me build blended kingdom families? It was this invitation. And I, the first thing I said was that, God, I am not qualified to do this. And he said, Vanessa, I call the qualified. And he said, the very thing that man says disqualifies you, I will use to qualify you in front of men for you to be able to help these families. And I was just like, you know, and just to hear that, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, like, thank you. And after we started the ministry, Scott and I, we did something called the Blended Kingdom Project, which is how we created this resource, the book, Blended and Redeemed. And when we reached out to these families, we spoke to about 60 families from all over the world, from the UK, South Africa, Australia, Canada, all over the US. And we asked them, is your church equipping you? You know, what resources are you needing? All these things. And so many people, there weren't. The church wasn't equipping. No one had resources. And just like us, we had reached out to the church and there wasn't anything. And so we kept seeing this theme over and over and over in the stories that we heard about people feeling disqualified, unworthy, their churches kicking them out. Scott grew up in a church where that was, that's what happened. And, and so we knew that, you know, after hearing all of these stories that, okay, Lord, the Lord was asking us to partner with him in creating a ministry that helps these families through this. And so, yeah, we still hear it today that a lot of people do feel that. But our heart and hope is that the church is the place that people run to and not away from, despite our brokenness and the things that we've gone through. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But it tells us in 1 John that when we repent, that we are cleansed of all of our unrighteousness. And so that is our heart, is that we want to partner with churches all across America, and we do, to have these classes and these resources for blended families to be able to be supported and equipped and have community and have accountability and to be able to walk through in those seasons.
Can we hit some of the big ones for people out there? Because I know scripture is sometimes misinterpreted. Sometimes misapplied, oftentimes not taken in context or totality. What are some of the sort of theological, if you will, church positions that get thrown at people that you think are not right or actually damaging?
That's a great question, and I'm not a theologian, and
You've been on the receiving end of these. I know, so you have to deal with them.
Here's what I would say, and just in Vanessa and I probably have probably different ideas on this, but not different like in opposing, but different. There's a lot of things that we think. Here's my position on it. I understand that divorce is caused by sin. I get that. And it's not always the person who's divorced who did sin. You know, we see factors of abuse. We see factors of abandonment, neglect, substance abuse, people completely walking away from their faith. We know that sin causes divorce. And God hates divorce. He doesn't want people to hurt. He doesn't want his people to hurt. It's the first thing that he created here was marriage. I mean, he puts marriage on such a high place with the people he loves. And he hates when that gets separated because it hurts not only those people, it hurts children.
Yeah.
I mean, we see generational divorces. Mm-hmm. The curse of generational divorce is so real and it's so prominent. Mm-hmm. And so now you fast forward and you say, okay, and we asked, you know, one of our good friends, Pastor Jimmy Evans, this exact question because we struggled with this. Like, how do we talk about this? And the question we asked was, hey, you know, can God bless a blended family? Mm-hmm. And his answer was really interesting to us. Is he said he can doesn't mean that he will, mm-hmm. because there are things that we must do as people mm-hmm. when we've sinned mm-hmm. that cleanse us, and that is seeking forgiveness. That is admitting that, hey, if you've messed up and this is what's happened. Seeking forgiveness, yeah. seeking redemption in those situations. And I think that's the greatest thing about the ministry is we don't just walk and say, hey, whatever's gone on, we're just going to walk right with you. It's like, hey, there's a process by which if you want to have a blessed marriage, and this is another thing that Pastor Evan says so many times, he says, I don't care if it's your first or your 20th marriage. If you do it God's way, it's going to be the best marriage. It's going to be the greatest marriage you've ever experienced because there's one way to do it, and it's God's way. Mm-hmm. And so our encouragement to the church is number one, just like Vanessa said, be the place people run to and be that place that can have resources for them. I just know this. I've been in churches where we have stood to our feet and we have clapped at the victories of prison ministry. Yeah. We've clapped at redemption
criminals,
people who have committed crimes and are behind bars. And I've seen an entire congregation come to their feet and say, God is doing something amazing. I would say the same thing when a couple walks into the church and instead of walking and sitting in the back pew where they won't get noticed, where they won't have to tell a story, they walk to the front and they say, generational divorce stops here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My kids will not experience that because I have experienced divorce and I have decided to seek forgiveness, seek redemption, and my marriage is going to be honoring to God. Mm-hmm. And my kids are going to see a healthy version of marriage, and their future is not going to be decided about what sins happened in the past.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And why do we like pick and choose what gets to be redeemed and what gets to be restored? We pick and choose that in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we do that?
I think it's something that people think is safe. It's the way that people have looked at culture. You know, divorce. If you look back, you know, to the last generation that's still here, the oldest generation that's here, divorce wasn't very prominent. I mean, this was something that it was very much, it just didn't happen as much. And we've seen the rapid increase of the fatherless household. Mm-hmm. We've seen the rapid, you know, destruction of the family. We see second marriage divorce rates is 70% plus.
Wow.
You don't attack a statistic like that without the backing of the church and say, let's go do something about this and let's stop generational divorce. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that by ignoring the people who are hurting. Mm.
So good.
Vanessa, did you, so you went through the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Did you feel shame either from the church or just from your own situation? Was that one of the major barriers maybe that held you back in your life?
Yeah, you know, I very much felt like the black sheep in my family.
Yeah.
So my stepdad, who I call my dad, he was a Sunday school teacher. My grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher.
Oh boy.
And my uncle was a Southern Baptist preacher. So I was the one in the family that it didn't work. I divorced and just kind of did it all wrong, so to speak. I had a very colorful background. And I had that self-shame. I think I saw my mom raised me as a single mom for the most of my life up until the age of 12 years old when my mom and stepdaddy got married. And I remember looking at her and I remember the struggle. And I remember thinking, that's not gonna be me. I'm not gonna be a single mom. I always wanted to be a mom. I always wanted to be a wife. And it was just a desire of mine. Mm-hmm. And so I fought so hard for it to not be that. And then one day it was that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was really hard. That was a really hard pill to swallow, so to speak. And then I had to share that with my family, with my grandfather who had married me. And, you know, then walk out the 6 years of being a single mom and the struggles that came along with that, getting back in the church after kind of falling out and recommitting my life to Christ and reestablishing that relationship and going through freedom and healing and all of that and doing the work to get to a place of just being whole and being free in the Lord. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think, you know, lucky for me, the church that I went to was they had very open arms with where I was at. They had a program for single parents. They didn't have anything for blended families, but they did have something for single parents. And we sought pastoral counseling at the church. And so they knew my situation. They were very welcoming to me and my son in our situation. Yeah. And I'm so thankful for that because it really changed the trajectory of my life and my son's life as I, you know, in the process of then receiving a husband in the future. My pastor came to me. I didn't want to get married again. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a single mom. And I actually had a pastor approach me and she said, I've been praying for you. And I just felt like I needed to tell you to start praying for your future husband and to start praying for your ex-husband. And I was like,
come again?
I said, well, I don't want to do either, but I was obedient and I started praying for both of them and it changed my heart of how I viewed my former spouse. And then it also opened my heart to receiving my husband, which then all the blessings that have come with that, with our three sons that we had, you know, together and everything that we have now. And so, so it's been a beautiful process, but a lot of shame and blame and, you know, the enemy loves to attack us in that area.
Absolutely. And there's a lot you've had to work through. And I think, Vanessa, that there are probably people watching right now that, either you've gone through that or you have someone in your life, maybe a child or a grandchild that is walking through that. And you don't even know how to encourage them. Mm. I believe that this book will help people with that. And how would you encourage somebody? Just a quick speak into somebody's life, because I don't know what it's like to be divorced, but there might be somebody watching today that knows what it feels like and doesn't know how to come out and find hope even in that. Is it possible for God to redeem their circumstances?
Absolutely. I think when you're in those wilderness seasons, and our first chapter is refined by fire, there is such a refining that the Lord will do in our hearts. And it's pulling all of those impurities and things out of us and the things that we've experienced to get us into a place of pureness and wholeness. And I would say, don't fight against that. Walk into that and just embrace it. You know, I think blended families are a beautiful example of God's redemption. Yes. If you think about a mosaic and how it's these broken fragments and pieces that are then put together, you know, God can form something so beautiful out of those broken things. And it's not because of our brokenness, it's in spite of it. And so he can create something so beautiful with the things of our past and the things that are broken and that have fallen apart and make something whole and beautiful if we will surrender and allow him to do that.
So I
think it's just taking a posture of just full submission, because that's the safest place that we can be.
Yes. God can form something beautiful.
Yes.
With the pieces of our lives.
Yes.
That is such a great word today, because some people give up on that. Like, there's never going to be anything beautiful about the brokenness of my life. Mm-hmm. That is a lie from the accuser. Mm-hmm. There is something that God has today for your life that is so beyond beautiful. It is enough because of who he is in your life. Mm-hmm. There are some people right now, I want to show you a story about their lives where they have a lot of broken pieces in their lives. And we get to be a part of picking up some of those pieces today and helping to bring hope into their lives. Watch this.
At Life Outreach, we rejoice in the solutions that address critical needs around the world.
You know, you just be here for just a moment, and you'll see five children go by. Some of them got these new shirts we gave them. Still, for $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children.
And when the solutions are this good, it's tempting to overlook the problem they purport to solve.
Malnutrition has immediate causes and has underlying causes. One of the underlying causes may be no access to food, and also malnutrition is intergenerational. So if the mother is malnourished, the possibility of the kid to be malnourished is more high.
Right now, Ethiopia is in the midst of a tragic crisis, and the children do not have enough food.
I've gone into a couple hospitals in the past with Life Outreach, and I've been around malnourished children. But I've never come into a clinic like this today. I struggle to find those words strong enough that you would believe me if I told you that children are dying right now. Right now, this very second behind me, they are dying. If you're in a position today to give to this outreach, mission feeding, would you please do it? They need a miracle today.
I wish I could tell you that baby survived. I wish I could tell you that all of those children survived. But I don't know. I don't know today. I know that the situation was dire. I know it was urgent. I knew it was critical. And I can tell you today that it's the same. They are still struggling. They are still fighting for life with every breath they take. They're searching for food. They're searching for opportunities. They are in desperate need. And I know what I can tell you today is that we might be the only miracle with our hands and feet at this moment to do something. God has placed us in this moment today to do something, to bring them relief, to bring them hope, to bring them life. Is that you today? Is God asking you to step in? Have you stepped in before, but He's asking you again to step in today? If God is speaking to you right now, please don't wait another moment. Please don't hesitate. Please pick up the phone. Call us today. Let us know that you can step in with us, that you could help us be that miracle today.
I love what you talk about in the hands. You look in Scripture, when Jesus performed so many of the miracles, it'll say things like he stretched out his hand or he raised his hands, right? Jesus' hands were that touch point for that miracle. And as you said in that piece, they need a miracle.
Yes, they do.
And then Scripture says, we are his hands and his feet. I've walked into a place and children have died that day.
Yeah.
And the mothers are out back wailing and weeping. Mm. They need that miracle. They need Jesus' hands. And Jesus says that we are his hands and his feet. It's you. Mm. You wonder what the solution is. It's you. It's us. It's our mission partners in the field every day, feeding 350,000 children. And we move to where the need is. And we are ending this campaign. This is the last week we'll be on the air with this mission feeding campaign. But we're going to keep feeding because the need is there. Will you join us? Will you be Jesus' hands? $30, $50, $100 feeding 3, 5, 10 children for the next 3 months. $1,000, many of you even more than that, 100 children. It's not as much about the dollar amount. It's about stretching out that hand.
Yes.
Raising up that hand.
Yes.
If you've got nothing in your hands, you can pray. And we covet your prayers as well. We can come together. We can show people the love of Christ. Go to the phone. Go online right now. Make the gift that God puts on your heart. We can be their miracle.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I do hope you'll go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. We can make a difference. We will be doing this always, every day. We're feeding children. Yeah. But this is the last week of this campaign, and we really need to let our mission partners know, yes, we can continue. So please join us in that. It's all about that encouragement, the giving life to people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Scott, you know, I know some people, mm-hmm. they're struggling with this still, mm-hmm. but there is hope.
It's such a beautiful thing to have that.
Yeah.
And I know there are people watching that you feel hopeless. You don't know what the story is right now. So let me encourage you in two things. One, your story's not finished. God's still writing. He's still redeeming you. He's still purifying. He's still preparing something that is absolutely amazing for you and your family. And I just want to encourage you through our verse of the ministry, Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. And that is 100% point on to your story. Nothing is impossible.
That's good.
Seal that with a yes and an amen, you
amen.
Guys. Hallelujah for your walk, for your blended
yes.
family that's been redeemed. It's possible for your life. We believe it for you too. There is hope. God bless you. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This is the last week, and this is mission feeding. Lives depend upon it. That is not an exaggeration. And eternity will be changed for all of those that we get food to, because we're going to give them the bread of life, not just food for life, but life in Christ. Please, this last week, make the largest gift you can and know that it's going to change everything for someone, many people even, in very hard hit parts of this world. Thank you so much.
And I was just discouraged and tired and didn't really want to deal with all that it would take to try to find new community.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.